2023 NFL Draft. Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama.
First pick.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trayvon Walker,
Georgia.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Wow, it is Baker Mayfield.
With the first pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
The Mix Picks Sports Show.
You can be part of the show. Email us, red@radio.com. Phone number is 888-989-9811. It is draft day. We're going to get to the draft right quick. And Steve Mickelson is with us yet again. Missed yesterday's show, but he's back as promised today, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, and mixpicks.com. 2Ks and Mix, 2Ks and Picks, mixpicks.com. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
So just a couple quick things I want to touch on before we dive into the draft. This first one actually goes to yesterday, and it came in at the end of the show because without you here, I kind of focused on a few things that we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't maybe talk about, or I don't want to put you in a position where you have to say to me live while we're doing the show, you know, Rob, I can't really comment on that. So we actually were talking a little bit yesterday on the show about online sports betting and these ways that in states like California, I think there's, 12 others, 11 others or whatever, where online sports betting is illegal. There are ways that through fantasies and prop bets that people can play, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And you're in Nevada, you've got to deal with the gaming board, the gaming license, et cetera. So I try to steer clear of anything that puts you in a position to have to even get close to that. But we got a follow-up question that I think is right up your alley, and I think you can answer, because I don't know the answer to this. Phil wrote in, and he said, I'm curious as to why in Nevada we can't get sports betting apps like FanDuel, DraftKings, etc. So, you know, he's saying, wait a minute, everything's legal in Nevada, but why can't we? First of all, is that true that you can't access the apps in Nevada? And is there a short answer as to why?
Yes, it comes down to licensing for the companies. Nevada has the strictest licensing regulations in the nation. These other states, because they wanted to allow sports betting quickly, are much more lenient. They allow companies to just come in and submit an app, get it approved, and they get licensed. In Nevada, anyone who owns, you know, so for like DraftKings and FanDuel, their ownership has to get an unrestricted license. It's a long and expensive process. And companies so far with the DraftKings, et cetera, have not chosen to go that route. I'm not sure where they're going to end up in the future. I would guess that they are going to eventually end up in Nevada. But it really just comes down to the licensing of the key members of the company, which have to go through an extensive background check, and it's very expensive.
And I mean, unless you live in, there are a lot of these places in Nevada, but I mean, even if you live in the sticks of Nevada, there's a casino somewhere where you can drive to. And for the rest of us that don't get to live in Nevada, a lot of us are like, oh, boo-hoo, if you want to bet on sports, you can drive somewhere. All right, one more non-football related note, just because it's so regionally being talked about, as you can imagine. Malik Monk has put together two outstanding seasons in a row. Last season, he led the NBA in bench points, but he was not named the NBA's sixth man of the year. This season, he averaged 15.5 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds off the bench for the Sacramento Kings. He shot 35% from three-point range. He had the most points, the most assists, the most 20-point games, the most 25-point games, the most clutch points, field goals made, and threes off of the bench in the NBA this season, but he did not win the sixth man of the year award. He missed it by only a couple votes. Instead, Naz Reid was named the sixth man of the Reed. He did score slightly more points than Malik Monk. Is this a, as you can imagine, Stephen, Kings Nation, oh, we got screwed again, or is this a, it was a pick 'em choice?
I would go with A, with the we got screwed again. I was surprised. I thought Malik Monk, in my opinion, was the sixth man of the year. End of the day, you look at the voting, though, it went down to the Timberwolves record versus the Sacramento Kings record. Wolves had a better season, expected to go deeper into the playoffs. I think this was more based on the team, not the individual player. And with the sixth man, that's something I disagree with. I do believe it needs to be the best player. You know, there's a lot of talk on the MVP voting, right? But in this case, I was really surprised.
The MVP argument is, how can you be valuable if your team finishes in last place? But this is such an individual selected award I don't know how much at all it should matter about. And it's not like the Kings didn't play well enough to at least get into the play-ins. And there's plenty of, by the way, obviously we know, plenty of playoff stuff to talk about with the NBA, the NHL. If we have time at the end of today's hour, we will touch on things. The beauty of everything that went on yesterday is we'll have time tomorrow as well. We're doing 3 hours from noon to three where we get to do the oh wows and the surprises and the things we got right, the things we got wrong, and still keep in touch with the NHL and the NBA. But if we have time today towards the end, we'll go through everything that's going on. I'm going to segue towards football and towards the draft and start first with – I'm going to make this a kind of a quick question and see how much time we need to spend on it, Steve. How big a deal, if at all, is it that Reggie Bush, who was at the center of the pay-for-play scandal when he was at SoCal, with, you know, massive sanctions and such, had his Heisman Trophy taken away in 2005, and it was officially reinstated and given back to him yesterday?
I'm glad to hear that he's very appreciative and wants the Heisman Trophy back. I fall under the category that I didn't believe he should have had it removed. I think there's a lot of questionable things there, and I think the NCAA made a lot of different judgment calls on it because that's where they wanted to go to make a stance. I'm glad that Reggie Bush didn't just say, you know, screw it, you took it away from me, I don't want it back, and, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But he was very receptive, taking it back, looking forward to, you know, be calling up a Heisman Trophy winner again. So I'm glad he took the road that he did.
He was classy. I always think it's a classy move when organizations make rights wrong, or wrongs rights, I guess it would be. And the only argument I heard against it about, are you opening Pandora's box for all sorts of other decisions you made? Slippery slope arguments don't usually interest me. At least they did. They got this one right. Moving closer to draft-related news, your Lions, the Detroit Lions, agreed to massive extensions with two of their top offensive stars yesterday. I don't know if it affects what they're going to do in the draft today at all, Steve, but how did you feel about the Lions stole the headlines almost yesterday.
It was nice to see them finally pay some of their star players. St. Brown, Sewell will be with the team for a long time. As a Lions fan, I'm excited about that. One of my complaints for years, though, is the Lions have always put up a facade of attempting to win without never really having the desire to win. I think this is one of the things that Dan Campbell has changed. Last year we saw it. They went deep into the playoffs. Hopefully they can continue that. And I'm optimistic, but still pessimistic, if that makes sense. I'm optimistic that the ownership is finally doing what they should be doing. I'm pessimistic, though, because I've seen it for 50 years, and I just don't want to be let down again.
And all the reports are that they are going to now move to immediately talking to Jared Goff about a contract extension. I guess he's in the final year of his contract deal. So, I mean, you can make the argument, as we did, the Lions arguably should have been in the Super Bowl last year, other than a decision by Coach Campbell that we talked about. So it looks like they're investing in that, which, again, has how that affects the draft, if at all, who knows. Now, Jaden Daniels is a name that everybody's paying attention tonight knows. He's kind of been, more recently, he's been bumped up to by a lot of people with their mock drafts to the second pick for the Washington Commanders, which initially we were being told they were looking at Drake May. But yesterday, there was a big deal made of the fact that Jaden Daniels says that he wants to be regarded, when he's done, as the greatest running quarterback in league history. He rattled off, I think appropriately, what most fans would probably, and if you just, without thinking about it, short list: Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Randall Cunningham, Steve Young, top five in no particular order, and says that he will be, ultimately, Jaden Daniels will be the one who will surpass all of them. He says Vic was the first. He thinks Lamar's the best right now. Now, my point is, the question I heard asked yesterday, is this what teams like the Commanders, like the Patriots, teams that are looking at Daniels, is this what they want to hear? Is this a nothing burger because they say, we'll coach it out of them? Or does this make teams in the last 24 hours go, ew, maybe that's not what we need?
This is one of those things that I hear that statement, and it just reminds me why I've been somewhat down on Jaden Daniels. Talk about the quarterbacks that you just saw: Vic, Cunningham, Steve Young, etc. Do you believe that any of those quarterbacks want to be known as the greatest running quarterback ever in history?
No.
Every one of them wanted to be a passing quarterback, but use their ability to run as a dual threat. here's a guy coming out and flat out saying, yeah, I want to be known as a running quarterback, and how I pass and what I am as a passing quarterback really isn't that important to me. And sorry, I kind of cut you off on your answer, but is that the quarterback you want running your team, that it's more focused on how he runs the ball?
No, and actually, I do think, and maybe I'm ignorant, I think that this did give a couple teams in that top five area pause yesterday, especially because there's so many unknowns as we head into the draft. And let's do that. Let's head into the draft. Do you and I agree? Because this will be me telling you what I think. Do we agree that the Bears are going to, A, keep the number one pick, and they're going to pick Caleb Williams? There's not going to be a shocker with the first pick.
Yes, I believe that is a given. All indications are there. They've known they've had the number one pick. There's no real reason to keep it a secret at any time. I don't even remember who the team was, but I thought, if you roll back several years ago, you know, there was a team that signed the player that was going to be the number one pick, like, and announced it the day before the draft. So it's just, look, here, this is who we're taking. We've already reached a contract agreement with him, and we're moving forward.
And I think, I don't know if it was the Bears GM or who it was, but it was either yesterday or the day before, he came out and he said, oh, we know what we're doing. And then he specifically said, but you got to watch. And I'm thinking, like, an NFL official had pulled him aside and said, okay, dude, because it is so obvious. Like, the only player they invited of all the quarterbacks to even visit them was Caleb Williams. And Caleb only visited like Hallis Hall or whatever. It didn't go anywhere. We all know that's what's going to happen. So no drama there. I don't see a chance that the Commanders are coming out of the number two position. I don't know why they would. I don't know what they could get offered, but this is where we start to get to have the fun of who's locked in and who's going to stay and who's going to pick. Now, okay, so I kind of went first last time, but I'm going to go first this time still. And then we'll go back and forth. Because I think this has been a media head fake. I think because of the history with Drake May and the people that are running the Commanders now, I think they're going to take Drake May as their quarterback with the second pick, even though the current betting is on Jaden Daniels. And I think they should take Drake May, because I think you and I agree he's the one who's most likely to be ready to play and do something of note under a brand new system, Dan Quinn and everything else.
I agree with you. And this to me is the first wild card of the draft. Everybody has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels right here in that number two slot. From there, everything kind of starts to fall into place. Mm-hmm. The wild card is if the Commanders do what you just said, Drake May, and to give listeners a comparison, Drake May favors very closely to a Ben Roethlisberger. He's a big quarterback, pro-style offense. You know, he's the pro-style, most ready quarterback in it. Big arm, big frame. So kind of think of a Ben Roethlisberger type at quarterback. If the Commanders go there, what do the Patriots do? Because
right.
I'm not convinced the Patriots want Jaden Daniels. What my belief is let's go with your scenario of the Commanders taking Drake May. I think the Patriots go with J.J. McCarthy right after that, and the whole draft board blows up because everybody's mock drafts are gone.
Okay. So first of all, let me confirm. You went with my scenario. Do you think the Commanders are going to take Drake May?
This is where it becomes more difficult, because we really don't know this ownership group for the Commanders. Everything I have based on is Daniel Snyder still owning the team and the things that they would do. And that's where I lead towards the Jaden Daniels is the typical Commanders pick here. The dual threat quarterback, the flashiness, the hype you get from the media, and that's the way the Commanders would do it in the past.
Okay. So, and by the way, speaking of his Roethlisberger-like build, he's listed at 6'4", 223. That's Drake May is. Now, this is an interesting twist. This is what's so great about this. So, you say if the Commanders were to go my direction and take Drake May, that the Patriots go to J.J. McCarthy, who's gotten a ton of press over the last 2 weeks. He's a Michigan guy. Jim Harbaugh has been out there touting him, of course. The rub on him that I keep hearing is that he we don't really have a full resume on the guy, that he didn't throw enough, he didn't play pro-style quarterback enough at Michigan, and that he's getting overhyped by the media, by Harbaugh, by other people, et cetera. I'm not saying I buy into it. I don't know enough about the guy. But bumping McCarthy all the way up to three, that would be a stunner, I think. And you're right. Everybody's draft boards become meaningless. It's like your NCAA bracket is gone, you know, on the first game.
But as a scout, you need to know his arm strength, his agility, his ability to feel pressure, move around. We've seen him be able to avoid pressure and have that pocket presence. We all know he has a big arm. Yes, he didn't throw for 4,000 yards and throw the ball all the time like Caleb Williams and Michael Penix Jr. But that's part of the job of the scouts, is to be able to watch him, see him go through various things. You know, in the past, we didn't hear it this year. In the past, we'd always heard quarterback hand size, because if they have a smaller hand, you don't want them being a quarterback in Buffalo or a cold weather city, Chicago, etc. But I think J.J. McCarthy may have the highest ceiling, but I think he's also sitting lower than the others because he is that question mark. He's the wild card.
So if your traditional Dan Snyder scenario plays out, because I haven't heard the official word on who's making these calls for the Commanders, but if the Commanders take Jaden Daniels, now the Patriots are third, and still, do they take Drake May, or do they still take McCarthy, or do they, because they've been very public about, you know what, we're open for business, do they trade out of it? This is the first spot that publicly has been very vocal about, we're open for business. All the reporting is there's not a lot of interest, or they're asking too much or whatever. But if it's Jaden Daniels or the Commanders, what do you have the Patriots doing?
I see the Patriots drafting Drake May at this spot. I thought he was a perfect fit for the Patriots. I believe the only team that they would trade with would be the New York Giants. I do not see them trading with any other team, because I believe the Patriots have to get a quarterback in this spot. And if they like J.J. McCarthy and feel that the Cardinals are not going to trade that spot, or the Chargers are not going to trade their spot, and they can still get J.J. McCarthy at six, that's the only way I see the Patriots move. I do not see them moving down with any other team other than the Giants. But I think they're going to go Drake May. But if they like McCarthy, they may roll the dice and take that chance.
So now in that scenario, they're not trading with the Giants for Daniel Jones. They're banking entirely on, and that's a huge gamble. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I think those four and five spots, we're into volatile city at that point. That's a big bet, but they would make the move to get other stuff from the New York Giants, to let the Giants say to the world, Daniel Jones isn't our quarterback. He's available if anybody wants him as the draft continues, et cetera. We're taking our quarterback of the now. We might say the future, but the now. And then hope that McCarthy is still sticking around when they are in the sixth spot, because that's where the Giants are. Do I have all of that right?
Yes, you do. And Giants, I don't think they'll go that route.
The Giants would take Drake May then, right, in your scenario?
They would then take Drake May in that scenario. I don't believe the Patriots will do this at all. I just think that is, if they were ever going to move it, and there's been a lot of talk of them moving it, that's the only scenario I see happening. But I believe that's going to backfire, because if they trade into that sixth slot, the team sitting there for me is the Chargers. And this is where there's the Cardinals, there's the Chargers. So I see the Patriots taking Drake May at three, not trading that slot away.
So, yeah, I see that the Patriots sticking around in number three. You've blown my mind with the J.J. McCarthy scenario, depending on what the Commanders do. And when we get to four and five, this to me is where I don't think any of us know what's going to happen, because you mentioned, when we talked about this last week or so, the Arizona Cardinals are fourth, and you mentioned that they're invested, and you meant monetarily, into Kyler Murray. We all know that there's been a lot of baggage with Kyler Murray over the last few years, and I don't know if that was related to coaches and things like that. everybody seems to think that they're very willing to trade out of this number four spot. The other idea is that they will go all in on Kyler Murray, and this is where they take Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm not convinced they're sold on Kyler Murray, and I'm not convinced that they wouldn't be the team that takes J.J. McCarthy. That's not my official prediction. I don't know. There's so much with Kyler Murray. I'm not sure that the Cardinals as a team think that he's going to be around for that long. And I think if nothing else, they're going to ask for a hell of a lot from whoever wants that four spot. But I think the trade's more likely with the Chargers to just jump leap a little bit. But where are you thinking with the Cardinals at four?
With the Cardinals, and these are the things we don't know. We don't know what's going on in that clubhouse, locker room, et cetera, and what his relationships is with this regime. But my feeling is they're going to give Kyler Murray one more chance. He is their quarterback. He's on their roster. And they, to me, are a lot less likely to trade this pick because I think they're going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. I think they view him like Larry Fitzgerald. We give him an elite wide receiver here. Kyler Murray hopefully has grown up, is willing to do the things we need to have him do, such as being a team leader. And I keep going to that Larry Fitzgerald part. Look, they need another Larry Fitzgerald to help Kyler Murray turn into the quarterback. They need him to be successful. So I don't really see the Cardinals trading out of this slot.
I have circled it and made a note that we are both officially picking Marvin Harrison Jr. The Cardinals stay there. I will not be surprised if they trade out. I won't be impressed probably unless they get a hell of a lot. There's also this notion of whether or not guys like Bo Nix or Penix have impressed somebody to the point that we're not hearing enough about. But go back to my scenario of if the Cardinals aren't committed to giving another chance to Kyler Murray, the answer is what we always talk about, or the question is what we always talk about. Do you know you have somebody who's better to replace him? And when you get out of the May, Daniels, we already know Williams has gone territory, that's a very – I mean, it's not like Murray's past his prime or anything. So I do think it is most likely your scenario is what's going to happen, and that's why I'm officially saying they're going to give Murray another chance. And boy, does it make – they claim, here's because especially because the Cardinals as a franchise can claim, this is it, Kyler. We've given you the greatest weapon out of the draft. I mean, I don't know the makeup of the rest of the Cardinals team. I can't intelligently comment on whether or not the Cardinals have the ability to be a contender this year right now at this moment. But that would be what the team would be setting them up for is, hey, we got the best guy available to throw to, and you blew it if 24-25 season, if that's what the scenario is. So we're moving on.
And if you blow it in the 24-25 season, you're still getting a top five pick. If Kyler Murray doesn't develop, you've picked up your wide receiver and Marvin Harrison. You're moving in the right direction. So to me, it makes more sense to take a gamble and try to, Kyler, this is your last chance. Come out and prove it. If you don't, I'm not in panic mode because I'm going to have one of the top picks. You know, I can go get Ewers coming out of Texas next year, and then I can have that for my quarterback. And if Kyler steps up, great. Now we're adding additional weapons. And these are the reasons I just don't see the Cardinals moving out of this slot.
So we've got all four of the top four staying. To me, if we're right at all about any of this, it gets really juicy with pick number five, which is where the San Diego Chargers sit. And then we get to start talking about teams that might be surprising, that might move up, they might make trades, etc. So we'll continue after this.
Knicks Picks, the Knicks Picks Sports Show. Let's
go! All right, as we work our way through the NFL draft, which is, by the way, 5 o'clock Pacific time tonight, ESPN. If technically pre-draft coverage is like noon, they're doing like college game day all day. I mean, this is what everybody's hyped up about is the draft. And even if you're a fan of the Panthers, if you're a real football fan, these first five picks especially are you've got to tune in and see what happens. Now, Eric wrote in, and when I first saw what he was writing about, I was like, okay, well, this will be later, but it ties into where we're at. Right now, Steve and I have the Bears staying at number one, the Commanders staying at two, the Patriots staying at three, and the Cardinals, much rumored to possibly be willing to trade out, staying at four. So in our scenario, Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board. That's specific to the Cardinals and to Eric's email, which he sent in rad@radradio.com. Because we're about to get to the Chargers, he says, Eric does, I have a possible trade scenario for the 49ers. This goes to one of the hot rumors that's out there right now. We've been talking about Brandon Ayuk doesn't have a contract, etc. They're working on it. Ayuk led the Niners in every major offensive category for receivers. Smart money is on. Re-sign Ayuk. Move on from Deebo Samuels the following year. Eric thinks, how about this? I know this sounds a little crazy, but what do you think if Marvin Harrison Jr. is still available, the Niners send Ayuk and Deebo Samuels both? That's me saying both because I'm so shocked at it. To the Chargers for the fifth pick. Chargers have a decent amount of cap space available to make contracts worth for both to pair with Justin Herbert, and the Niners get much-needed cap space and a potential franchise-wide receiver. Initially, Steve, I mean, this just came in as a Niner fan. I don't like that. I think that's too much capital to send Ayuk and Deebo away. Yes, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver in the draft, but I don't think you need to trade up to five if he's available even, which in our scenario, he's not. But what's your initial reaction?
I don't see anything happening, and the big couple of things. The big thing for me that stands out is the cap space. Now the Chargers have to pay both Deebo Samuel and his contract, and they're going to have to pony up the money for Ayuk's contract. That's a big investment in wide receivers in order to move up to get Harrison. I believe Harrison has the potential to be a all-pro plus wide receiver. I think he's going to be very, very good. It's just, if I'm the Chargers, do I really want to take on that cap hit when I know I'm Jim Harbaugh and I need to rebuild?
Yeah, I got a lot of questions about that move. But you and I don't think it's going to be possible or likely. I guess before we get to number five, as a Niner fan, and I don't know because, you know, you and I admit we do this, it's almost impossible because we are humans to separate ourselves from our favorite teams. You know, you Eeyore yourself to death over the Lions, even though they were, I mean, a call away from the Super Bowl this last season. With the Niners, I'm sitting here believing, and based on John Lynch's history, for the most part, other than a few big glitches, okay, he's a hell of a general manager, and I'm sitting here believing they're going to re-sign Ayuk and do exactly as I said, probably just move on from Deebo or figure it out down the road, take care of Brock Purdy. In your mindset as we go into today, do you have a feel for whether or not the Niners will make some big move and trade Ayuk to move up in the draft? And the big rumor, by the way, is, of course, the Steelers have been almost overt without, I guess, breaking any NFL rules about tampering of the team that would want him. But the Steelers have the 20th pick. Well, big whoop. I mean, the nine from 31 to 20, that doesn't excite me. But what's your feeling about all this?
Well, with the 49ers, and I'm kind of posing a question to you, if you traded away both Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and you drafted Harrison, you have a rookie receiver. A rookie receiver is normally not an elite receiver because they have to learn the routes. The game's a lot faster, a lot of things going on to there. And now you're moving Jennings up into the starting rotation. Do you feel that's enough for Brock Purdy to be successful? There's already questions on, oh, he's a game manager. He's a systems quarterback. But you as a 49er fan, would you feel that confidence taking a rookie in Harrison and Jennings and known that's my wide receiver core? Oh, by the way, we want to go back to the Super Bowl.
So, you know, this is off of Eric's email because Eric's the one proposing sending both Ayuk and Samuels, which to me that is and the argument, I get the argument for it. You're saying the Cardinals, we're both saying the Cardinals are going to take him because they're thinking Larry Fitzgerald. Could Marvin Harrison Jr. be the next Jerry Rice for the 49ers? And the argument would be, well, look, you got Kittle, like you said, you got Jennings, you still got McCaffrey. But to give up both Ayuk and Samuels to get Jennings, whether it's to the Cardinals or the Chargers, is too much. Now, if it's the scenario of giving up Ayuk just in general because the marriage is over, there are enough wide receivers, I think, in this draft that are worth, and I don't even know that the Niners would bother with a wide receiver. I'm not sure of that. I mean, my answer to your question is I don't like giving up Ayuk and Samuels with a Super Bowl-ready team. I think that's too much to give up. They shouldn't do that even for Harrison Jr. I get the argument, and I don't think it's possible, and neither do you, obviously, based on our draft scenarios. I'm more concerned about this surprise of Ayuk just getting traded today the Niners moving up and the Niners not having Ayuk this season and finding out, oh, he's a lot more important than we thought he was.
And let's roll into, we're not making this trade, but going to Ayuk. I was had a little bit more hope that the 49ers would re-sign him with Smith's contract with the Eagles and that 3-year $75 million. Hey, look, this is the Ayuk money. Seeing the Lions pony up for St. Brown, the amount of money that they did, I now no longer feel the 49ers are going to sign him. I think he's on his way out of town, and I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's later down the road. I don't see the 49ers giving Ayuk St. Brown money, and that's what, if I'm Ayuk's agent, that's what I'm now asking. And they couldn't get it done where I thought they were. And this is one of the problems with waiting is I thought the Smith, yes, the Niners could get it done. St. Brown money, no.
So that does kind of bring us back to where we're at in our mock drafts, the fifth pick. Because the smart thing to do, and again, I don't think John Lynch is an idiot. The smart thing is if you have realized what you just laid out, if you have decided after, and this would have all been last minute. I mean, I agree. The biggest facepalm yesterday probably on the planet was John Lynch and his team when they saw what the Lions did. Went, oh my God, we're never, because Ayuk's been pretty vocal about what he wants, and he wants that kind of money or more. So today is the day you move him. That's the smart thing to do. So let's use this scenario. Do you call Jim Harbaugh, who you have a relationship with? And I mean, you wouldn't actually call him. You'd call the GM, I know, but you know what I'm saying. And you got the behind-the-scenes calls. Do you try to get to the fifth spot with Ayuk? And the Chargers are like, great. Another weapon for one of the best quarterbacks in the game, top 10 for sure, in the hardest division in the league. We couldn't get Harrison. We're getting an established player. Any chance of that scenario?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
and this is where I'm going to jump into the fifth pick with the Chargers. You're Jim Harbaugh. You're rebuilding this team in your image. In the offseason, we talked about, the Chargers and what kind of moves they're going to make. No one's talking about the Chargers have 9 draft picks in this draft, including the fifth pick overall. We're watching quarterbacks come off the board. So outside of Harrison, we've already seen 3 quarterbacks come off the board. To me, Harbaugh is going to be the best, if not one of the best, evaluators of talent of this draft because of his time in college football. He knows all of these kids. He knows what it is. I think there's very little chance he keeps this pick. Mm-hmm. I think he moves on because if he can trade this to the Vikings mm-hmm. for the 11th and the 23rd pick, now he picks up 2 first round picks, even though he trades his first round pick. And kind of what I see there would be like this pick overall, and the Chargers have two fourth round picks. So maybe they throw this pick overall on a fourth round pick and they come back with 11, 23 and the Vikings number 1 next year. That would put them in a great position to retool.
So we both agree, by the way, that the Chargers aren't keeping this pick. Now who it goes to is up in the air. The Vikings are certainly in play. Because they're in the same division, not only the same conference, the Raiders are probably not in play because do the Chargers want to hand the Raiders their franchise quarterback kind of thing? But I think for all the reasons you said, the Chargers aren't keeping this pick. It's a question of who winds up in that fifth spot. I agree with you. The Niners scenario I'm throwing out only because of Eric's email got us onto that tangent. We're all wondering what the Niners might do. The Vikings, do you have anybody else that you're thinking it could slide into that spot?
I think this is where the Vikings slide into the spot because in my scenario, if J.J. McCarthy's available mm-hmm. for the Giants, I think J.J. McCarthy goes 6 to the Giants. So I think if anyone wants J.J. McCarthy, this is the spot they have to go to. And keep in mind, if Drake May goes 2 to the Commanders, then I think J.J. McCarthy goes to the Patriots and Jaden Daniels is the one sitting out there. But I'm not Maybe the Vikings trade up for Jaden Daniels in the five slot. I'm not sure they do. So in my scenario, the Vikings make this trade. They pay a lot. They go get J.J. McCarthy in five. The Chargers move down, grab 11 and 23 because the Chargers are looking at a wide receiver and an offensive tackle. Harbaugh wants to play big physical football. He understands you have to do that and start with the offensive line, the defensive line. He likes the big physical running game. He's putting that in place. And again, I fall back on this. I think Harbaugh knows this class better than anybody, and I believe he's going to find some sleepers later on in this draft. So he wants picks this year, and he wants picks next year to put him in a position to be successful long-term.
And that is why the Vikings are the prime choice, because they have a lot of draft capital with two picks in the first round, and then the Chargers already saying, did you have a total of nine or something like that? They're not giving up a lot if they you know, bump the, you know, throw one this year later down the road to Minnesota. I actually have the same scenario. If the Chargers were to keep the fifth, which I'm not predicting they were, there are tons of receivers. They could go that route. There's Bowers at tight end if they want. I mean, there's weapons they could give Herbert. There's defensive players we haven't even talked about. I just don't think the Chargers are going to stay there. And I have the Vikings moving into the fifth spot. And in my scenario, we have this weird thing going on, because in my scenario, the Commanders are taking Drake May, but you've got them taking Jaden Daniels. And in my scenario, then you have the Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy. But I'm not even sure what the damn Patriots would do if they're stuck not being able to take Drake May, because I don't know that the Patriots want Jaden Daniels. And then you threw this curveball of J.J. McCarthy, because I think the Vikings would take J.J. McCarthy, and that's who I thought they would ultimately take. So this is where it's going to get so ridiculously juicy tonight, watching this. This is it. Pick five is where everything falls apart, if it hasn't already fallen apart with your prediction of J.J. McCarthy going third, under my prediction.
Yes, I do believe the Vikings are targeting J.J. McCarthy. And if by chance, I think the Giants are targeting J.J. McCarthy, which is that wild card spot where – it wouldn't shock me if the Giants flipped with the Patriots. I just think it's a big gamble by the Patriots, because I don't think J.J. McCarthy will last till six.
So the Giants are stuck with Daniel Jones. So if the Giants – are the Giants in six, would they just go, fine, we'll take Penix? Would they start to look at the lesser-than quarterbacks under the scenario of where, okay, the big four are gone in their mind?
I don't think that's where they go. I think at that point they say, okay, what quarterback can we get in the second, third, fourth round, and what's still going to be available? And at that point you do kind of what the Cardinals do. Look, we gave Daniel Jones all this money. Daniel Jones, this is your last shot. Let's go get him a wide receiver. Let's go get Malik Nabers, mm-hmm. who is a phenomenal wide receiver also. I'm going to give you some players. You got to prove it now. Don't be complaining in that. I'm going to get you the wide receiver you desperately need, and now prove to me that you deserve the money and the contract we gave you.
All right, so in theory, we got through all the way through the top six. We already, thanks to Eric's email, we touched on the Niners, and a lot of you are screaming, what about the Raiders? Steve and I already talked about the Raiders don't have a quarterback. Are they going to move, or are they going to wait for one of these other names, whether it's Knicks or Penix down the road? So we'll wrap up after this.
Knicks Picks. The Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go! You can email us, R-A-D, at radradio.com. It is draft day. Day one tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time on ESPN. And Steve and I, we've worked our way kind of through the top six. Now, the truth of the matter is, Steve, we haven't really, between the two of us, we haven't really come up with an oh-wow, jaw-dropping moment unless you combine our scenarios. Because you think you're leaning towards the Commanders are taking Jaden Daniels. I've gone back to, I think they're taking Drake May, which was who they were originally looking at. And it's only under that scenario where you have the Patriots take a J.J. McCarthy at number three, which is a bracket blower, as we say, because otherwise you think it's Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots. We both have the Cardinals staying at fourth and taking Marvin Harrison Jr., and we both think the Chargers are trading out of number five. And then you got the Giants sitting at sixth, and do they at that point, with no real quarterbacks on the board? Now, in my scenario, McCarthy would still be on the board, but I don't know that the Giants do that. We like the idea of, and I actually had Nabers as the Giants pick as well, under the same scenario as the Cardinals. Okay, Daniel Jones, you've got this scenario, or you've got all the weapons you need, prove it. So my question to you is this. Where is there is what's the shock? Do you have in your brain the shocking moment, the oh wow moment, the one where Mel Kiper screams, "I can't believe this just happened," sort of thing? Because I mean, we're not total chalk between the two of us, but what is there? What is that big? Do you have that big one? The one that goes, "Oh my God!"
I think we're looking at 10 with the Jets, and I would be looking at 13 with the Raiders, but I don't want to reveal those quite yet because I want to continue the conversation. And I still think if they go Drake May, I think the Patriots go J.J. McCarthy. I still think Harrison goes fourth. I just think the Vikings then would be trading up to go get Jaden Daniels. I think they've positioned themselves. That's why they went out and got that second first-round pick. They're saying we're getting one of these four quarterbacks, and that's their game plan. I think they'd be disappointed with Daniels, but I still think that's the move that they would make.
So do you want to keep going by number, or do you have somewhere? I mean, the Titans are seventh, the Falcons are eighth, the Bears are ninth again. The Bears go again at ninth if they keep it. The Jets are 10th, which you alluded to. The Raiders are that. So where do you want to go with this?
Because we're running out of time, Titans are going an offensive tackle. It's either going to be, you know, like Joe Alt.
Yep.
If we make the trade, that's where they're going to go because they need a line to protect. I think the Falcons go with an edge rusher. I think they're going to be pretty content with their offense right now. They need to get a defense that puts pressure on a quarterback.
Dallas Turner.
And then I think the Bears' best pick, Odunze from Washington, wide receiver. Really good wide receiver. One of, you know, obviously, I thought there's three standout wide receivers. The Bears, you went quarterback with Caleb Williams. We need to get somebody who can catch the ball for him. And they go Odunze. The 10, the Jets. This is where I think there can be that little bit of a, wow, okay. But if you really think about it, in my mind, this one makes sense. And this is where the Niners trade Brandon Ayuk to the Jets because we know the Jets are all in. Aaron Rodgers wants another wide receiver to fill out that roster. This one makes a lot of sense to me with Ayuk going to the Niners and then the Niners getting the 10th spot.
What do the Niners do with that 10th spot?
That I'm not exactly sure. I think the Niners, yes, I kind of like them with wide receiver, but I think they need an offensive lineman. And this is where they may go with that, you know, offensive tackle who's the second best. You know, there's some people saying J.C. Latham. There's some other tackles in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys whose names are hard to pronounce in the offensive tackle room, but they're good.
Yes, and this is where, as a 49ers fan, I think you're kind of deflated going, man, we just traded Ayuk and we got an offensive lineman. There's not a lot of splash there, but you have to protect your quarterback. You're building the depth on your roster. That's one that would not surprise me.
No, and it does work with Shanahan's scheme, too, because part of that also, everybody thinks you're protecting the quarterback. You are, but you're also reinforcing that the ground game as well. And I do think if the Niners were to get that high, they would. I think they're looking at offensive tackle no matter where they pick because there's actually a lot of guys that are out there. By the way, we agreed on if the Titans stay at 7, we both had Joe Alt, who, by the way, is a monster. He's like, oh, Rob, all offensive. Dude, this guy is 6'9", 321 pounds. I got Dallas Turner for the Falcons. I got the Bears. So you think the Bears keep 1 and 9? You don't think the Bears trade out of 9?
I think they keep 1 and 9. I know they only have 4 picks in it, but you got to get your quarterback. You need a wide receiver. You can throw the ball too. And in this 49ers scenario, we all know, we believe the Chargers need an offensive tackle. The Chargers need a wide receiver. I think the Chargers are going offensive tackle with 11. So if the Niners are able to sneak up and grab one of the top two tackles in the draft, it takes it away from the Chargers as well. That's why I think this is a good spot for the 49ers to go because they're taking the second best tackle in the draft ahead of the Chargers, and he's going 11 if the Chargers, if they don't make that move. And it builds on that. So that's why I think at 10, the 49ers make that move.
So what about 12 and 13? You have two teams that are in the exact same conference, exact same division, and they both need quarterbacks. The Broncos and the Raiders are sitting there at 12 and 13. And this is where a lot of the discussion is. Do either of them make a move? Do they just sit there and wait? And do they then say, hey, one of us is taking Bo Nix, the other is taking Penix, and that's it, and there's your five quarterbacks going in the first round? Because they're right there with each other.
I think that's how it plays out. Everything I'm reading, the Broncos are really leaning towards Bo Nix. Yep. I think the Raiders would be ecstatic with Penix Jr. in that slot. They didn't have to trade up. I think they like him. I think he's one of the guys that are targeting and realistically viewing it as they have a strong chance to get him without having to trade out of that slot. So I think Bo Nix and Penix go the next two. If by chance the Broncos took Penix, I do believe the Raiders are going to go Bo Nix.
So either way, yeah, right. Maybe both those teams, they have to take a quarterback. I mean, almost it seems like they almost that. In other words, that would be another oh wow moment, is if either the Broncos or the Raiders didn't take a quarterback in the first round and keep their pick, either by keeping their pick or moving up for some reason to an even bigger place, depending on their draft capital and all that.
Yes, especially the Broncos. I mean, not that I'm happy with the Raiders with Gardner Minshew, but at least you have some. You're the Broncos and you pass on a quarterback in the first round sitting there, your fan base is going to be all over you in the media. And you got to give Sean Payton time, and he has always shown he knows what he's doing. But I just can't see. That's the head scratcher to me, is that the Broncos pass on a quarterback at that slot.
Yeah, and I think Aiden O'Connell ain't it for the Raiders. I would have the same feeling if the Raiders pass on whoever's left. If they stay in 13 and the Broncos, you know, are a pick ahead of them and take who's ever left, the Raiders have to take the last one that's left of the big five or six, right? I mean, they have to. All right, so yes. Any other, because we got like 2 minutes left. Any other big surprises that we've missed? Because to me, those are all the ones that jump out and stand out of what we had to touch on. The Steelers, for some reason, I'm not sure. I think the Steelers are crafty and they're looking at doing something, but I can't figure out what. But other than that, I don't know.
And I think they're there. The Eagles could easily try to trade up. You know, they need that secondary help. The other part that play my scenario out with Ayuk going to the Jets. The part that I think people aren't going to see, I like Brock Bowers then going 11 to the Chargers. He's a tight end. Nobody's viewing it, but I think Harbaugh would love to have Bowers as that another receiving threat at a tight end position to play that power football.
Yeah, and I did mention I don't believe it's going to happen. If the Chargers kept the fifth pick for some reason, that's who I have them taking, is Brock Bowers, for that exact reason. Even though there's all these wide receivers, I just don't think they're going to be at fifth, and I think for exactly what you said, that's why they're trading out. They know Bowers will be sitting there if they trade to 11 or 12 or 13 even.
And if the Jets don't go with Ayuk, say at 10, I think they go Brock Bowers at 10. And then that's why I see Chargers going to the offensive tackle, but now they're getting the second best tackle. So I think they're going, look, we're either going to get our tackle or we're going to get Brock Bowers. We're happy with both, and we pick up draft capital.
All right, well, we'll know a hell of a lot more in 6 hours when they actually start. And then tomorrow we are not on at 10. We're on from noon to 3 to see how awful we were at predicting what might happen in these first many picks and the first round overall. But most importantly, to take a look at the winners, the losers, the surprises, what we look for tomorrow night and then into Saturday. And we'll have time, since we're going noon to 3, to also get fully caught up on some wild action in the NHL. I can't wait to talk to you about the Vegas Golden Knights. Stayed up late watching that game, the NBA playoffs, etc., and everything to look forward to for the weekend. So it's not 23, it's 25 hours from right now, Steve. We'll be back to do a 3-hour show tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm very excited about it.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Little roller up along first. Behind the back.